Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of GAIL (India) Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phones. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aditya. Thanks, everyone, for taking the time out on back-to-back calls to attend this GAIL's post-Q3 FY24 result call. We have with us from the management, Shri Rakesh Kumar Jain, the CFO of the company, along with other members of the senior management of GAIL. So without further ado, I'll hand over to the management for their opening remarks, and then we can get into the Q&A. Sir, over to you.
Thank you, Probal. And a very good afternoon to all of you. I have with me my colleagues from various departments who are heading critical departments like sourcing, marketing, and colleagues from finance. Once again, good afternoon, warm welcome to GAIL's earnings call for Q3 financial year 2024. At the outset, I thank you all for attending this earnings call. GAIL's results for quarter ended 31st December 2023 have been declared today. I will touch briefly on the major highlights for quarter, and then we can open the question and answer session. GAIL's gross turnover increased by 8% to rupees 34,168 crores in Q3 financial year 2024, as against rupees 31,728 crores in Q2 financial year 2024. The major reasons for the increase is the robust physical performance by all the major business segments of GAIL. This quarter witnessed increase in natural gas prices and better realization in liquid hydrocarbon segment. Profit before tax during the quarter increased to rupees 3,694 crores, as against 3,130 crores in Q2 financial year 2024, and this is up by 18%. This is mainly due to increase in LHC price realization, higher petrochemical sales, improved gas marketing margins, and reduction in input gas costs for petrochemical segment. Further, during this quarter, we received higher dividends as compared to quarter two. We received rupees 403 crores, as against rupees 270 crores in quarter two financial year 2024. Profit after tax during the quarter increased to rupees 2,843 crores, as against rupees 2,405 crores in Q2 of financial year 2024. That is up by, again, 18%, and the reasons are same as I enumerated for profit before tax. If you talk of nine-month basis, GAIL clocked the turnover of rupees 98,034 crores, as against rupees 111,290 crores in corresponding period of the last year, and there is a decrease of 12%. And this decrease is mainly due to decrease in gas prices as compared to last nine months of last financial year. However, this is partly offset by an increase in transmission tariff, volumes in natural gas marketing, natural gas transmission, and petrochemicals. There is an increase in profit before tax by 45% to rupees 8,713 crores, as against rupees 5,993 crores, and PAT by 42% to rupees 6,660 crores, as against rupees 4,698 crores. Physical performance, if I have to share with you, total gas marketing volume was 98.14 MMSCMD in Q3, as against 96.96 crores in MMSCMD in Q2 financial year 2024. This increase is mainly due to increase in volume, overseas volume. Natural gas transmission volume was 121.54 MMSCMD in Q3, as against 120.31 MMSCMD in Q2. The average capacity utilization was 58% approximately. The increase in transmission volume is attributed to increase in shippers volume by approximate 1.26 MMSCMD. Polymer production increased by 45 TMT to 205 TMT in Q3 financial year 24 as against 160 TMT in Q2. Capacity utilization in last quarter, that is Q3, was 101%. Liquid hydrocarbon production was 249 TMT as against 238 TMT in previous quarter. The capacity utilization was 69%. LPG transmission was almost flat, that is 1095 TMT as against 1114 TMT in previous quarter, and capacity utilization was 95%. The consolidated financials for Q3 as against Q2, the consolidated turnover in the current quarter stood at rupees 34,678 crore versus 32,952 crore, up by 5%. PBT in the current quarter is rupees 4,075 crore versus 3,138 crores in Q2, up by 30%. Profit after tax is rupees 3,195 crore versus 2,444 crore in Q2, that is up by 31%. On 9-month basis, consolidated financials, the consolidated turnover for 9 months in financial year 24 stood at rupees 1,385 crore versus 1,12,445 crores in the corresponding period in previous year. The profit before tax for 9 months in financial year 24 up by 45% to rupees 9,496 crores as against 6,567 crore in corresponding period of previous year. Profit after tax up by 49% to rupees 7,431 crore for 9 months in financial year 24 versus 4,982 crores in corresponding period for the previous year. Now I will share the performance of GAIL CGD. GAIL is having infrastructure of 165 CNG stations and 290,000 plus DPNG connections in the 6 GA allotted to GAIL. During the current quarter, 8 new CNG stations and approximate 16,000 DPNG connections were added. The physical volume is 0.3 MMSCMD during the quarter. In the next 2 years, GAIL targets to add over 100 new CNG stations and approximate 2 lakh new DPNG connections. I will share now the performance of GAIL Gas. During the current quarter, Q3, financial year 23-24, turnover stood at rupees 3,145 crore as against rupees 2,745 crore in Q2 financial year 24. There is increase of 15%, mainly on account of increase in bulk trading quantity by 12%, CNG quantity by 11%. Profit before tax stood at rupees 153 crore as against rupees 57 crore in Q2 financial year 24. There is increase of 168%. Profit after tax stood at rupees 113 crore as against rupees 42 crore in Q2 financial year 24, increased by 169% for reasons as explained above. The physical volume increased to 7.18 MMSCMD in Q3 financial year 24, increase of 10% mainly on account of increase in bulk trading quantity by 12% and CNG quantity by 11%. During current quarter, GAIL Gas along with JV subsidiaries has added 17,731 new DPNG connections and 29 CNG stations and having infrastructure of 9,06,000 DPNG connections, GAIL Gas as a group company. If I have to talk about GAIL Gas has almost 5 lakh of DPNG connections. Bengal Gas Company Limited, as on 31-12-23, BGCL is having 13 CNG stations, 237-kilometer pipeline, and 8,000 numbers of domestic PNG connection infrastructure is made available. During the current quarter, 1 new CNG stations and 22-kilometer pipeline were added. Project performance. Mumbai-Nagpur-Jharsuguda pipeline activities are moving in full swing, and pipeline is anticipated to be completed by October 24. Jagdishpur-Haldia-Bokaro-Dhamra pipeline, out of 3289 kilometer 2,951 km pipeline have been commissioned and remaining part is expected to be completed progressively by June 24. Srikakulam-Angul main pipeline that is 420 km work is under progress and likely to be completed by June 24. Spur lines are anticipated to be completed by September 24. Gurdaspur-Jammu natural gas pipeline. This pipeline is having a length of 106 km and is likely to be completed by July 26. Dhamra-Haldia pipeline length 253 km. The work is under progress and expected to be completed by June 24. PDHPP at Usar, as you know, capacity of this plant is 500 KTA, is expected to be completed by April 25. PP at Pata, capacity 60,000 KTPA, expected to be completed by July 24. IPA at Usar, 50 KTPA, expected to be completed by December 25. Gail Mangalore Petrochemicals Limited, capacity 1250 KTPA, completion date by March 25. CAPEX for Q3 financial year 24 is 1730 crore, mainly on pipelines, petrochemicals, CGD projects, operational CAPEX and others. Now I would like to share some segmental outlook for short to medium term. So far in the financial year, our gas marketing business has exhibited robust performance. In earlier conference call, we had given a guidance that no matter what, GAIL will be able to earn at least ₹3,500 crore as a marketing margin from gas marketing segment during financial year 23-24. In 9 months period ending 31st December 23, due to better arbitrage, various optimization measures like time swaps, destination swaps and shipping optimization, we have already earned gas marketing margin of ₹4,300 crore, which has surpassed our earlier guidance. With these revised numbers, our gas marketing margin is expected to exceed ₹5,500 crore mark by the end of this financial year. In the similar way, we believe that the gas marketing spread for 24-25 will be around 4,000 crore and for financial year 25-26 will be around 4,500 crore rupees. And that will be minimum we expect to earn. Gas transmission volume for financial year 23-24, it is expected to be 120 MMSCMD on an average basis. I'm talking of yearly average, and we also expect when we close this financial year, we'll be having exit rate of at least 123-124. In this regard, I would also like to inform that to my investors community that in Q3 financial year 24, average transmission volume is stood at 121.54 MMSCMD, that is up from 120.31 MMSCMD in Q2 financial year 24. In next quarter, we expect to transmit slightly higher volume so as to reach an average of 120 MMSCMD for full financial year. Further, during next 2 to 3 years, there will be increase in transmission volume by 12 to 15 MMSCMD on a year-on-year basis. Polymer production stood at 205 TMT as against 160 TMT in last quarter. In this quarter, we were able to post a PBT of rupees 62 crore as against loss of rupees 160 crore. As we have been mentioning to our analyst community that we expect when we end this financial year, we'll be around at break-even level on a yearly basis for petrochemical quarter. And this has happened due to optimization of cost, input gas cost, improved operational efficiency because of we are able to run the water plant at more than 100% capacity. Further, in Q4 of financial year 23-24, we plan to optimize further our gas sourcing and likely to close at break-even level. For next financial year, to not only normalize petrochemical operations, but we expect to earn a reasonable profit from Pata Petrochemicals. Liquid hydrocarbon production stood at 730 TMT during 9 months of financial year 24, and during Q3 we were able to post a PBT of rupees 257 crore as against loss of rupees 17 crore in Q2. Due to better price realization, in financial year 24, production level is estimated to be slightly higher as compared to previous years. Also, to protect our margins in this segment, GAIL is effectively involved in taking hedging for LPG products. I think that's all from my side. regarding the overview of performance and project status. Now I invite you to have any clarification and questions on the results for Q3 and 9 months ending December 31st, 2023. Thank you. Over to you, Robin.
Thank you, sir. Aditya, can we open up the queue for question and answers?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much and congratulations on great numbers. My first question is on your guidance for FY25. Why are you guiding for a lower marketing margin for FY25 versus 24, or are you just in contact?
Puneet, we have shared the minimum marketing margin which we are likely to earn. We also, for this year, if I were to share, we said that we will earn at least 3500 crore rupees.
Right.
So we are saying this will be minimum which we expect to earn. And then based on the market situations, the arbitrage available, the optimization we are able to do, we may better off than this. But for guidance purpose, we are considering a number of rupees 4000 crore.
And so it's fair to assume that there is a 100% probability of a 4,000 crore marketing margin.
That's what we expect.
Secondly, you can also talk a bit about what's driving the improvement on the petrochemical side. If it was a decent improvement, what is the optimization that you're doing when you talk about on the operation?
Actually, first when we were running the plant before this quarter, it was suboptimal production capacity we were running. So in last quarter, we were able to operate the plant at 101%. Once you operate the plant at full capacity or more than the full capacity, lot of positive things happen. And one of the positive things is that specific energy consumption in terms of per MMBTU consumption for one metric ton has gone down significantly. Second, the fixed cost allocation is to a higher quantity. Third, we, through our portfolio, because in our portfolio we have options to have make available the in gases which suits to the water petrochemical project production and the viability, we are able to do that. So all these factors have enabled the profitability in Q3 for water petrochemical.
And lastly, if I may, if you can also talk about the opportunities on increasing your volumes for marketing business. Are you sourcing new gas? What kind of gas contracts and gas pricing are you experiencing there? And what is the new volume tie-up that you expect to do over the next year?
So our chairman has already said various occasions that we intend to source 7 to 8 MMTPA of additional gas for our portfolio and maybe 1 to 2 MMTPA on yearly basis. In this regard, already there was an announcement that we have signed a contract for 1 MMTPA which is going to be available to us from 26, calendar year 26. We are also in advanced stage of discussions with various suppliers and very soon we may be able to inform you when we conclude these deals. So we are on the job to source the gas so as to have broader portfolio and do more marketing. Okay.
Excellent. That's very helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit your question to two per participants. Should have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Sabri Harzanika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on good set of numbers. So I have two questions. The first one is relating to marketing. So from what we understand, generally, the marketing margin in APM gas is something like 200 rupees per MSCM, which is like around $0.1 per MMBTU, and in LNG it generally ranges somewhere around like 20 cents per MMBTU. So if we do a rough cut calculation, we generally end up at say around 2,000-2,500 crore kind of marketing EBITDA for the year. So I'm just wondering that when you are like citing 4,000 crores, so does it mean, I mean, this arbitrage opportunity, they are like more recurring on in nature, or do you think, has there been any like structural increase in gas marketing margin or anything of that sort has happened?
Actually, you are arriving at these numbers based on the sales price, which includes the certain fixed or some fixed kind of marketing margin. That is one part of it. But our portfolio does not include the APM gas and RLNG, which we market at fixed margins. Our portfolio also includes, significant portfolio also includes, wherein we have an option and opportunity when we are able to market the gas on a mid-term to long-term basis on a higher marketing margin than what you have estimated. That is one thing. But apart from the marketing side, it is also sourcing side. I also narrated during my brief that we are able to do lot of things, which is through which we are able to reduce our cost of gas sold, like time swaps, destination swaps, ship-to-ship transfers, a lot of things which we do, and all these things, and then taking this position in financial market, the paper positions, because we have lot of portfolio available to us. So all these things enables us to have at least a number of 4,000 crore, which we have seen in last 2-3 years. Because every year when we are giving guidance, we are working out these numbers. Like before this year, we said 3,000 crore, we surpassed even the worst kind of situation. This year we said 3,500 crore. We again went back to our calculation sheets and saw, can we achieve it? And then we have done it. So similarly, for next years, we see that the gas marketing volumes are growing, growth is there in the business, and also we are able to take the benefit of lot of options which we are exercising, because we have a lot of flexible gas, at least from United States.
Right. And marketing volumes will also grow by around 5-6%, or it will be even more than that?
We expect marketing volume to grow at least by 5-6%.
Okay, sir. And second question is relating to your transmission business. So the KG Basin tariff order just came sometime back, and they have like increased the gas cost, gas pricing assumption in the cost. I think they've taken some long-term average of HPHT, and also this is the final, or do you think there could be further upside to the gas cost assumption?
I understand you are talking of KG Basin tariff, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's where they've taken that assumption. But does it mean that even for unified tariff and integrated tariff also that assumption may be taken, or
I think you go back to the tariff order. There is no implication of any gas assumption in KG Basin tariff, because there is no compressor station, there is no fuel consumption in KG Basin tariff. So that has no link with the tariff of HVJ, which is part of the unified tariff, where compressor fuel is being used. That is a separate issue.
I'm talking about the gas price. I'm talking about the
gas. Gas price. The gas price, how it impacts in tariff, unless it is used as a compressor fuel or transmission loss. Only these two things happen.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much. So it is under review only, and it will come separately for you.
Right.
Right. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Malik Patel from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a few questions. Sir, now you do not have any of this APM gas for your gas compression business, yes, sorry, in the gas transmission business. So, is this on a normalized cost on transmission segment?
If I understood you are telling there is no gas allocation, and at what cost we are booking, is that right?
Yeah.
So since there is no gas allocation, we are sourcing the gas for our compressor fuels. We try to source the gas from domestic sources, and to the extent it is available, or else we use the RLNG for our compressor fuels, which is at prevalent market price.
You are using around 1.7 MMSCMD of gas for the compressor business, right? Approximately?
Right.
And now, from this quarter onwards, it will be at the market prices, whether it's an HPHT or it will be at a spot LNG.
Right. Spot LNG or the gas available out of our portfolio.
Okay. And so when do you expect that order to come now? I mean, because earlier the assumption was that within a year, regulator will revisit the assumptions what they made into this integrated tariff pipeline at $3.5. When do you expect that to have it again?
Actually, we are following with PNGRB, and we expect them to take a decision soon. But we understand that there is an issue of member legal there.
Okay. Yep.
Probably that is delaying that process.
Oh, got it. So last question. This is on the petchem side. Now you have turned into that again profitability, and this quarter the spot LNG prices are again lower than the previous quarter. Is this a fair to assume that your profitability will substantially improve in this quarter? And sir, any update on that the acquisitions what we have done couple of quarters back, that 2000 crore rupees which we are supposed to spend? When do you plan to start operation in that?
Yeah, so it is fair to assume that profitability for petrochemical project or plant at Pata will certainly improve as compared to Q3. And definitely, and we expect it to be the level of PBT or rather we will be at break-even level for Pata Petrochemicals on a yearly basis. Second question is with respect to the plant which we have recently acquired, that is erstwhile JBF Petrochemicals. We expect that plant to be commissioned by March 25.
Okay, and so we will be spending around what, 2,000 crore rupees in that, right?
We have acquired that through NCLT process at rupees approximate 2100 crore rupees, and then we are expected to incur around 2000 crore rupees to bring it to the commissioning level.
So the PDH plant will also commission around that time only next year?
Yeah. PDH will be commissioned mechanically by April 25.
So commercial will be take another 6 more months to complete it.
Maybe 3 months.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. So, couple of questions. Firstly, on your volumes, now this 121 volume that we are seeing, could you just remind us how much of this is outside the main pipeline, which is the, you know, the unified pipeline, how much of this is outside that, like the Kochi Mangalore, and I think
maybe 10% of the volume is out of the unified network, KTMBPL and KG Basin is a large volume, rest are very, very minimal. So KG Basin may be around 4 to 5 again this 4 to 5 is, KG Basin, so 9 to 10 million volume, 8-9, and then another Agartala region, these are small networks which are not part of this unified tariff.
Okay. No, because what I'm asking is that if the kind of growth that we are talking about, if we are at about 110 or so, we get another 8-9 MMSCMD of growth, then we would be already at 75% utilization, right, for the main network. So in that case, incremental volume increase could also lead to tariff adjustments, or how does that work?
Because you know the tariff regulation. At least we don't expect 3 years that incremental volume will lead to reduction in our revenues, because regulations are such that any under recovery of past years we have a right to recover from any over transmission in coming years. So there will be years when we have under recovery, in past we had years, so those under recovery will be first offsetting from over supplies if whenever it happens. So there is no question even if we reach 75% level, that we need to pass on.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's a useful clarification. And the other thing was this OPEX that we see, sir, for gas transmission segment, that's gone up significantly. So there are, this is because all of this quarter, the complete allocation is gone, or there was part of it that you was around?
Yeah, this quarter, Vikas, the allocation is totally gone now in two stages. One, I think in August, first October, and second in December 16th. So with effect from December 16th, we don't have any allocation of APM gas for use in compressor fuel.
So that is December 16th. So next quarter, if anything, OPEX will be even higher. Because why I'm asking that, sir, is we are right now, I mean, last year there was this thing about the OPEX being one-off because, you know, there was a, you know, a higher, much higher price spot LNG, $40 spot LNG that you had to use and all of that. But even now that I see, most likely next quarter, OPEX from gas transmission will be at a much higher level, because you said that December 16th it went, when it went, full effect will be in January to March. Is that
much higher? Go higher me hoga.
Because higher to hoga,
because the quantity reduces only 0.2. Yes, it will be at higher level, not at a much higher level.
So 0.2 of a base of 1.7, right?
Right.
So 1.5, say 1.7 ho jayega. So that is what the adjust. So about 10-15% kind of an adjustment.
Ah, to wo aage na higher hoga, much nahi hoga.
Okay. And any reason why LPG realizations look a little low? Any reason, Sinha Sahab, or you can think of that you can, because this appears to be a little bit of a discount to what I thought was the market price.
Can you come back again, Vikas?
LPG segment realization, any reason why they appear to be a bit low, or you don't have any specific reason you can think of?
No, we don't have, because it's all market driven, import parity price, and we don't have any control over it. So there is no specific reason international prices are in that range.
Okay. And finally, where do you see, so when you say this 12 MMSCMD growth, that in your opinion is more you are talking, because I think you said over the next 3 years, average of 10-12 MMSCMD growth is what you see. So that's more like we should be thinking of more from a perspective of CAGR rather than, you know, specifically next year 10-12 MMSCMD coming. Is that how you think about it?
Yeah, let me tell you. Currently, there is a disruption in supply from our one of pipeline Dadri to Panipat, IOCL supply, right? So we expect the 3 MMSCMD volume at least to come back. Increase in offtake. Every year there is a growth in CGD by 12-13%. Even if you take roughly 70% of our market share, 3 MMSCMD will come from there. IOCL Baroni we expect to come 0.5, and the general increase. So we have the bigger data from where this 10 to 12 will be available. I have given only 2-3 to you. 7 MMSCMD,
I will be able to share. Why I say that, sir, because 10% increase, you are, when you are increasing 10%, Indian gas demand is also rising effectively close to that. That is something that we have not seen for many, many years. And there have
right,
been
you are right, we have not seen. Rather, for many, many years, consumption in our country remained at stagnated. But this year, if you have seen, there is a good amount of growth. In fact,
yes, sir. Which is of a low base, a lot of those price sensitivity.
I agree with you. But
after the very high prices of last year due to the, for, you know, spot LNG prices being...
Right. But we expect that 10 million is possible.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Anand Subraman from Ambit Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first one is on the petchem business. Sir, are you able to share the price of gas, the input gas that you sourced in 3Q, and what is the assumption that you've made for FY25 as far as the guidance on full year profitability is concerned? Second thing, could you help us understand status of the volumes that were under dispute, the shortfall that you had from the Gazprom trading entity, and is there any compensation you received there and resolution plan there? Thank you.
We expect that firstly, it is not the input gas which, based on which we can assume that Pata will be profitable on a yearly basis. It's a function of both the sales price and also the input gas cost. So if you are to ask me at based on current level of pricing, Petrochemical, $8 to $9 is a very good price input cost, gas cost for Pata Petrochemical, and we are able to source and supply at that level to Pata Petrochemicals. Second assumption is that the pricing levels of petrochemical were lower even in this quarter as compared to Q2. Even if you maintain the price level of Q2, which were higher by 8,000 rupees per metric ton, we will be at a good profitable level in Q4 and also the next financial year.
Okay, so just to clarify, at $8 per MMBTU gas,
not $8 to $9, because it is always varying.
Okay. At current spreads, $8 to $9 will be the break-even point in FY25.
Break-even level is higher than $9. We are able to source and supply at $8 to $9. That's what I told.
Okay, sorry, I'm unable to understand. You said that your petchem business will break even in FY25. My question was, what input gas price that you are assuming for this break even?
I never said that our financial year 25 we will break even. I said we will be in profit in next financial year. First thing, I said that in order to have the profitability, this is a function of two things. One is the selling price, and second is the input gas cost. We are able to source and supply to Pata Petrochemicals around $8 to $9, sometimes nine and a half, sometimes 8.5. And what I also said that during this quarter, our petrochemical prices were lower, even if you compare by Q2 by rupees 8,000 per metric ton. So even if we maintain those prices of Q2 level, we expect those prices to be available. And if we are able to supply at 8 to 9, we will be not break even, we will be in a reasonable profitability for Pata Petrochemicals.
Understood. Very clear. My other question is unanswered.
What is that?
That's on the gas cargoes. What's the legal resolution there till now, and also on the marketing side?
You are asking extra supply. You are asking compensation. Sorry, I missed that. So that case is sub judice. So I cannot say anything on that.
Okay, and is there any assumption that you have made with respect to any resolution in the guidance given for FY25 on the marketing side?
Any
resolution? And what about the cargoes from Gazprom? Are you getting it now?
Anything which are contingent, we are not considered.
Okay, and lastly, are you getting cargoes now from Gazprom, the new entity?
Yes.
Okay, but no shortfall is being met, right? The cargoes that were not available.
Shortfall is not yet supplied by them.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pranita Shetty from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, this is Mayank. Couple of questions on the CapEx side first. Can you just talk us through in terms of your full year CapEx for FY25 and how much of that will be incrementally now spent on the petchems front? And secondly, if you can just talk about a bit around the long-term sourcing contracts. Obviously you signed one, but how does that kind of impact the overall spreads that you were talking about on the marketing side? Thank you.
The new contracts you are talking about, how will it will impact?
So when does that impact kick in terms of earnings for you? I think FY26 or onwards, or does
So the supplies are to start from 26 onwards, so therefore those impact will only come from 26 onwards.
But sir, will they be back-to-back contracts as well, or do we think there will be kind of like we have seen over the last 5-7 years, some of
actually,
that?
Actually, no, back-to-back era is over. Though it is always good for you and to have a sustainable kind of thing, we also wish to have that. We will try to do that. But nowadays, you have a lot of opportunities available. It depends what kind of prices you are sourced and what kind of market it is there. There are a lot of market here. So we expect, because we have a good price under that contract, we expect to have not back-to-back, we expect to have more than what marketing margin we are earning today.
So, sir, just out of curiosity, in terms of the volumes that you are thinking on a portfolio basis now, like in 5 years' time or so, what percentage could look like on back-to-back and what percentage you will take exposure on your balance sheet?
So, it is difficult as on date because the supplies are to start from 26. I can share about current portfolios, but since it is too far from today, we will start marketing for those contracts now because we have recently signed the contract. So now we go to the market and we expect, we want those contracts to be signed on back-to-back basis with a good margin. Now when we go to the market, then only we will be able to know what kind of will be on exposure we will be carrying. But there will not be any exposure because that's at a very good price we have entered into those contracts.
Got it. Okay.
And with respect to your question on CapEx, in financial year 24-25, we target to incur 17,000 crore rupees of CapEx. Mayank, are you getting?
Yeah. So, sir, can you just help us give us a bit of a bad breakup because the numbers are a bit
high. Around 3,000 crore on pipeline projects. Mm-hmm. 4,400 crore rupees on petrochemicals. And around 3,000 crore rupees we target to incur on net zero.
Mm-hmm.
Around 750 crore on operational capex. And around 5,000 crore equity contributions to JVs and subsidiaries.
And so this petchem capex will be largely driven on the PDH plants as well as the PTA plant. There is no shutdowns or anything for the Pata plant, correct? For fiscal
year. Largely on USAR, Petro PDH. So capex will incur for PTA will be forming part of, you know, equity contribution to JV subsidiaries.
Okay, clear. And so no major shutdowns or anything planned for fiscal 25 on Pata, correct?
No, we are not expecting anything like major shutdown. Any routine shutdown may happen, but not as of now, we are not envisaging.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manikant Gare from Franklin Templeton, India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for providing me the opportunity, sir. Hope I'm audible. I have a couple of questions. One is on the 1 million ton LNG contract which have Vitol recently. Vitol is a commodity trader, and this deal is probably different from other deals any other or any LNG offtaker in India, including you, has taken so far. Is there any difference in dealing with a commodity trader versus dealing directly with a E&P company? In terms of probably slope or destination flexibility or any other terms because of which you are dealing with the commodity trader now? That's my first question.
Yeah. Good afternoon. This is Kaviraj. I'm heading LNG group. To come to your question, we don't see there will be any difference between an optic type done with directly a producer and the trader, or for that matter portfolio. Okay. But different players come with different plus and minus. Okay, in this case, we got a couple of good flexibilities, which we thought would be very much useful in our LNG portfolio. So we went ahead. Nothing significant, different from other suppliers.
So can we expect that the slope here also would be more or less in line with what we are doing with the directly with the producers, or there would be any difference there?
I don't want to on the flexibility. No, I don't want to say anything on this, but definitely the slope is very competitive. I don't want to give a judgmental qualification saying that it is better than producer or vice versa. All I can say is it will be very competitive.
Got it. And then my second question is more of a follow-up to what Sabri was asking earlier on gas marketing side. Sir has mentioned that time swaps and destination swaps and ship-to-ship transfers were probably the key reasons for the rising guidance in gas marketing business and continuous outperformance than what we were expecting. But if I have to go back maybe 4 or 5 years back also, we were doing all of this then also, right? So what is the key change that has happened in these swaps or ship-to-ship transfers that has happened over this period? If you can throw a bit more color on that, and also if you can along with that provide how much percentage or how much of marketing volumes were on swaps on quarterly run rate basis in FY24, for example, versus let's say 3 years back in FY20.
Actually, one significant difference what you are asking 5 years back and today is that largely we were marketing our volume in overseas market because the demand was not to the current level. Now the demand in the domestic market is there and we are able to consume all our sourcing from international market in domestic market. So when we were doing those swaps, largely to mitigate our volume risk, not to optimize the cost. Right? That was one factor which is different than, because 5 years back the demand as compared to today was less. Is that Abhiraj?
Yeah, yes.
And what more?
No. Just to add, as our director of finance rightly said, in the past we did a swap for a different objective. Okay. But currently we are doing swap as part of our LNG portfolio operations. Meaning thereby, the swap which we do is on a case-to-case basis. Earlier we used to do a swap for let's say 1 year or 2 years, something like that. But today perhaps almost every alternate cargo we try to create value by doing a swap. And that is the reason there is a spike in this value. Am I able to answer this?
Yes, sir. Just an extension to that, sir has started off with saying that we have transferred more volumes to India versus selling more of them earlier in international markets, right? So do we have to take it that we are able to earn more margins on this India sold volumes relatively than what we were getting earlier when we were selling them on international markets?
Obviously. I said during my piece that the marketing margin is not only a function of, what price you are marketing. It is also a function of what gas cost of gas sold you are able to arrive at. So when we did optimization, we were able to reduce our cost of gas sold significantly. So one of the analysts were asking that you have a fixed kind of marketing margin, we are not able to arrive at. So they are working out from top line. I am telling we are able to reduce our cost. So both things have played role, not only the gas price at which we marketed, at what gas cost of gas sold we are able to have our costings. So those two things are working and that's how we are able to have good marketing margin and we'll continue to do so.
Understand, sir. If I can just squeeze in one last question related to this only, how many trading hubs have you created currently globally? From the gas marketing division?
We have only one in Singapore.
Okay, so apart from India, there is only one in Singapore.
Yeah.
Nothing in the US or European markets?
No, US they handle the operation of the LNG contracts, that involves trading of gas, upstream gas, whenever we face some operational difficulty. So in true sense, it is not a trading hub.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amarnath from Ministry of Finance of Oman. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hope I am audible.
Yeah.
Yeah. My first question was with respect to this value unlocking activities which the management and the board was thinking, whether with respect to CGD or with respect to merger or reverse merger with your petrochemical side. Any update you can give on this regard at the moment?
Actually, we have not come out with any such kind of value creations through, you know, disinvestment of CGD or petrochemical. Yes, we are internally evaluating and we'll take this call at an appropriate time. But till now, we have not concluded what we'll do about these investments in CGD. And there is no thought about petrochemical.
One thing I'm just trying to understand, now every year the capital expenditure towards this petrochem side is keep on increasing, whereas the uncertainty relating to that business compared to our main business of gas transmission and marketing is quite high. As you correctly said, the output price is not in our control. Only thing we can do something with respect to our input price. So what is the rationale behind so much of expansion towards the petchem side of the business and increasing the overall uncertainty business of games?
Okay. First thing is that Indian demand on petrochemical side is lowest if you compare with the world average per capita consumption. And even if you compare with the developed countries like China, significantly lower. So let us talk first, there is a demand. Second, with respect to uncertainty in terms of realization, the current investment which we are doing in USAR is on PDHPP, the input for which is propane. And the output polypropylene is directly having correlation with the propane price. So we expect to earn a certain delta of margins between input and output price. So our investment is quite conscious based on long-term analysis of input and output price. And we currently have sometime uncertainty about the Pata Petrochemical, and we expect we'll have consistent profit in the new investment which we are making for PDHPP USAR.
Yes, sir, just to interrupt, see, making the profit is not all the things, it's the allocation of the capital and the return on capital employed. Now, if you can help us to understand, compared to the capital allocation towards your main business, and compared to that with the petrochemical business, how much return on capital do you earn from that business of the petchem so far, on an average?
Actually, we are there to invest. And currently, we have been able to win all the authorizations for pipeline which PNGRB comes out. We, our all, are not in a position to decide and lay the pipeline. We certainly can look for the any opportunity for investment in pipeline projects, but at least that should be available. So currently, there is no opportunity available, and we are the only entity in last few years who have, through PNG, won all the authorizations. We were rather sometimes single entity to have bid and got the authorization. So we are there to invest in our core business, that is laying, building, operating the natural gas pipeline. But at the same time, if we find there are opportunities for investment in other business segments, and which we continue to do, because ultimately we have to find growth. And if we find that growth in some of the businesses is sustainable, so that's how we decide and allocate our capital.
Yeah, understood. But if that capital allocation towards your petchem, which apparently have much lower ROCE, is taking your entire company's ROCE quite drastically down. You know, that is the point I just wanted to have.
Yeah, I
understand. You need to have allocation.
Your experience is of Pata Petrochemicals. That's how, based on that, based on the availability of project at Usar, which is on a different field. So in order to not to have the uncertainty, we have gone for propane dehydrogenation, not gas-based plant.
Any idea about this hydrogen plant-related investment, where we are? And also, what is your vision with respect to the expansion to that side of the business? Though it is very, at the very infancy stage relating to hydrogen, but last call, I have understood from you that you guys are thinking kind of in diversification towards this non-gas.
Hello, sir.
Non-fossil
fuel. Sorry to interrupt,
related.
Sir, we request that you
Yeah.
return to the question queue for follow-up question, as the several participants are waiting.
This is my second question only.
Yes,
sir, this is my just second question. You allowed me to do asking two question, right?
Okay, sir. Okay.
This was my second question only.
So regarding your question on hydrogen, we are only putting up a pilot project at our one of the unit. And then you asked why. So energy transition is taking place, and whether we like it or not, the energy transition will happen. So in order to be future ready, so we are, as a pilot project, we are putting one of the hydrogen plant at our one of the units, and the investment.
Hello?
Yeah, you got it?
Yeah, okay. Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prabhul Sen for closing comments.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank everyone for sparing their valuable time to attend the call, and thank you so much to the management for taking the time to give such detailed answers to all of the queries that have been put. Appreciate that. We can end the call now. Have a very nice day, everyone. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.